is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
One day, when the glory comes, it will be ours, it will be ours. Oh, one day, when the war is won, we will be sure.
The heavens, no man, no weapon formed against, yes, glory is destined. Everyday women and men become legends. Sins that go against our skin become blessings. The movement is a rhythm to us. Freedom is like religion to us. Justice is juxtapositioning us. Justice for all just ain't specific enough. One son died, his spirit is revisiting us. True and living, living in us. Resistance is us. That's why Rosa sat on the bus. That's why we walked through Ferguson with our hands up. When it go down, we woman and man up. They say stay down, and we stand up. Shots, we on the ground, the camera panned up. King pointed to the mountaintop, and we ran up.
One day.
Good morning. Welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. You know my voice already. It's Lee Miller. Thank you so much for joining me. Thanks so much for letting me join you. They tell me, don't say I know what they're doing at 11 o'clock because they're sitting on by the radio listening to me. So while you're out there sitting on by the radio listening to me, your boss don't pay you for that. So whatever it is else that you do, I'm happy that you're doing that you have decided to do that, do with me. Let me make this abundantly clear before I start. I am a firm believer, advocate, and proponent of a sequence known as the use of force continuum. You may want to go and Google that as I say it. It is the use of force continuum. And the theory of the use of force is that all forces ought to be met with a force that is equal to or slightly greater than the force that is being presented so as to subdue that force. For the maintenance of peace, law, and order. I do not condone in any way violence against anyone for any purpose. Let me be emphatically clear about this, though. If you pick up a deadly weapon, for me, I no longer see a gender. I don't care if you are an orangutan. If you pick up a force that I deem deadly and present it in a direction that seems to be mine, I intend to use all of my might to ensure that I subdue that force and that I cause that force not to overtake me. I recommend man, woman, goat. If somebody the use of force doesn't mean that they've begun using the force. When you present this force, I intend to now visit force upon you. And it is as simple as that. And I notice I hear nobody crying and outbreaking and, oh Jesus, the world coming to an end and what the Bahamas coming to. The woman could jerk up the man a million times. No one care. I keep telling you all this. We teach our boys to take abuse, man. You let the woman pick up the knife for you. You go, use man. All you had to do. Don't ever play it with me. I'm telling you that right now. Don't play it with me or no one I know or no one that I give counsel to. Because I'm going to advise them to use the principle known as the use of force continuum. And you can go tell Jesus why you thought pulling a knife on me was a good idea. And it's very simple. I ain't trying to kill nobody, but more importantly, I ain't trying to let nobody kill me. Elsa only got one son like this. All right? So just as there was an outpouring and an outcrying for the travesty that happened at Key West Street the other day. I still don't know how y'all let that happen in Anglesden. But I anticipate that there ought to be the same level of outpouring and outcrying for the woman's son who get jacked up upstairs from a woman who obviously is an aggressive woman. And you ought not let your ma, your pa, or nobody visit that kind of force upon you, except you meet that force with force equal to or slightly greater than that force. Very simple. I don't have time to color it up. And I don't care if it's man, woman, boy, or goat. If you present from you, pick it up. From you, pick this up. I am now in combat mode. And I'm not talking about the Kung Fu Panda either. I am in combat mode. And I'm telling you, I am now giving you, I can't call that one on the radio, but it's the foot to toss combo.
Yes.
Make no mistake about it. Don't let people, I listened to a show yesterday. They talked about people that try to avoid situations to avoid the abuse. And yes, by all means, if you can avoid abuse, walk away. The easiest way to win a war is to never fight the war. All right? But I also say to you, don't let people present you with force and you take them for a joke. Do not ever. I don't care if you pick up a mop stick. You could think this street fight in a minute. This is now an all-out brawl. And I ain't trying to hurt you, you know. I just trying to subdue you till the police could get here. And so I hope that there's the same level of outpouring and the oh my gods and the same level of rage. You see, because I keep telling y'all condition our boys to take abuse. I say it all the time. The girls going to Mars to get more candy bars, and somehow, even though Jupiter flatter than Mars, the boys going all the way to Jupiter just to get stupider. Y'all teach these boys to take abuse. And we gotta fix that. All right? But that ain't what I come here to talk about this morning. You know I've been doing my series. It's called Pregnant in the Pandemic. We've had any number of stories now, and they all vary. And these are just some of the things that people have been living with, going through, having to deal with in a pandemic world. While all of us was complaining about trivialness, like staying inside, me, I was complaining. There were people that were actually trying to live lives.
Yes.
And plan lives and execute the planning or execute the plan that is the plan for their lives in the middle of a pandemic. And mm-hmm. one of the most basic things that you could do as a human being, especially if you're a Christian human being, is to procreate, right? Because mm-hmm. that's your first commandment. Be fruitful and multiply, right? And we live in a world now where I tell people all the time, unlike the Jews, there is no need to practice genocide on black people because they scare us with poverty and black people start practicing genocide on themselves. All they do is tell you, if you have children, you could be poor, and now none of us have children. Right. So it is an interesting thing when you see young black people still interested in having children, because all of us want to live the lifestyles of the rich and shamelessly famous, apparently, mm-hmm. and we ain't letting a baby get in the middle of that. But there are some of us that have still bitten the bullet and ended up in PMH. My guest this morning, Candy, is with me. I have with me as well the inimitable Roxy Starr. Ladies, morning. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Yeah. So that's my opening salvo. Please, ladies, don't pick up weapons for anyone I know.
Listen, I actually wanted to say something while you were talking. Mm-hmm. I have always been a proponent of keep your hand to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
My mother had this saying, say, you know, you always tell men don't hit girls. Mm-hmm. But my mother raised her daughters, don't pick up your hand and hit no man, unless it's in self-defense.
Right, right.
She said, because from you hit a man, you won't be a man, you deserve to get beat like man.
Right.
So I have lived my life by that mantra.
Yeah.
Now, I tell you, self-defense has no gender role. There is no gender bias for self-defense. And I can tell you right now, from here to high water, you could praise Jesus on this one. You play with my child, whether it's a girl or a boy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if I have a son and your daughter play with him. He can wrench her head off if she is threatening his safety.
Yeah.
I am sorry.
Yeah.
And I love how you said we train our boys to take abuse. We really have to stop that. Because some of these women is due for more. You all know how we go.
Because you's man, right?
We's due and for more. And you was man. You should be able to take this.
Yeah, what that mean?
Man, listen to me. I done watch women drag man over Camp Road, speed bump. And they get up like they was, boy, your head was going to get burst off. I sorry.
And you's man.
And you's
you
man.
I just supposed to want you to abuse me.
I don't agree with that. I don't like that. And we really need to change that narrative with our young man. Furthermore, instead of teaching them to hit women or not hit women, teach them how to control themselves and conflict resolution.
Mm.
To me, that's a better foundation to teach all of our children. And that goes with no gender
role. There is no conflict resolution for somebody that picks up a life.
No. Hey. I agree with you.
Yeah.
But I feel like in conflict resolution, there's the foundation of it that speaks to self-defense.
Oh, yeah.
But I've already tried. Yeah. To de-escalate the situation, yeah, and right. Now you coming at me with threatening force,
yeah.
Baby, it's on like popcorn. By all means, and by any means necessary.
Yeah, I like the part of the Bible where it says, "Lay hands on them swiftly."
Swiftly.
Yeah, this may be so swift. We may have to call the ambulance.
Yes, but I thought.
When I say in Jesus' name, put that down.
Okay.
I intend to knock you completely unconscious.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
All right. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about pregnancy and the pandemic. Candy is here. She's my guest. She got pregnant, was it pre-pandemic?
Yeah, pre-pandemic.
Pre-pandemic. Another pre-pandemic pregnancy. Very happy. Over 30.
Yes.
Decided to be
looking
pregnant.
Looking good.
Decided to be
you
pregnant.
You can see she is drink water and rest God body.
Yeah. Decided to be pregnant over 30. And it's because, you know, none of us having baby in our 20s no more, right? We trying to do it at 45.
Why you catch at 28? I say, might as well have this one, eh?
A friend of mine told me. She planned to go till she 48 or 49.
Oh, wow.
I say, what?
No, sir. No, I'm somebody, not about to be 60 chasing a toddler.
If somebody brings a baby at 49 and say it's mine, I tell her, you carry that baby right back to whoever give it to you. Don't bring it here. But Candy decided to have a baby at 30 or 30 plus and got pregnant before the pandemic. The pandemic was visited upon us. How did that change your experience? I mean, what exactly did your life go to from?
Well, doctor's visits, firstly, started off regular, normal,
mm-hmm.
and eventually it changed.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, I happened to be working from home at the time, so it made it a little bit easier
mm-hmm.
As far as commuting from work, just, you know, taking off some time from my virtual and going to the doctor's office. But, mm-hmm. of course, spouses weren't really allowed in the doctor's office like that or a group of people or a bunch of people. So there was a waiting period. You wait outside. And big up to my doctor, of course, my OBGYN, Dr. Leon DePuch,
mm-hmm.
Who took very, very good care of me from the beginning all the way until to the end.
Okay.
So, yeah, the doctor's visits, they were quick
mm-hmm.
but thorough. And, of course, then you went in, did your scans, sanitized all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Any communication thereafter would have been over the phone.
Electronic, yeah.
Right. Any other communication. But, like I said, Dr. DePuch and his office, the Ladies Medical Center, they took very, very good care of me.
Now, in the early days, you know, there were people like me that were kind of flippant about it. I'm still kind of flippant mm-hmm. about COVID. COVID kills less people than abortions yeah. and traffic accidents, right?
Fair.
But, yeah, and abortions is choice death.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. But there were people like me that were like, nah, COVID's going to come. It's going to go 9 months. We'll be back to normal. 17 months is what it lasted.
Yeah.
And I imagine, you know, you're over 30, having your first child, and you decide, well, I'm going to have a child. I'm almost 100. Amen, in a sense, I don't have children. Do you ever go through the phase in your mind where you say to myself, oh, my God, the world is going to end? And, like, I'm really scared. Or was it because you had your child so early in the pandemic that it was still not very scary for you? Like, people hadn't started dying as yet, did they?
No. There were no deaths, as I could recall. Mm-hmm. But I was very cautious, nonetheless.
Mm-hmm.
Cautious of who came to my home. Cautious of where I went. And what was extremely frightening for me, though,
mm-hmm.
was me living in a household of four other persons.
Mm.
Me being pregnant, my grandparents being well over 70,
mm-hmm.
my mother being hypertensive.
Ooh. I was a high-risk house.
I was the only one that was able to go out to shop.
Oh, wow.
With your pregnancy.
With me being pregnant.
So COVID was not a conspiracy theory for you. It was very real and serious.
It was very real.
Yeah.
Very real. Now, the only thing that was an advantage for me, when people saw that I was pregnant, they didn't let me toe the line.
Because
them lines was very, very long.
I should have been pregnant.
No. You're supposed to get a parking boy. I had a parking boy. I had this WhatsApp. I said, WhatsApp, am I on my way to Super Value now? Come aside for this $10, my shopping, that's on the money to pay. I used to bring my receipts, my chains, pocketing tab. You couldn't make a shopping thing.
Well, I just didn't like that. You know, they could have seen my condition.
Yeah.
I didn't have to say, well, I can't toe this. The security's like, Come. We ain't letting you stand on this line. Okay. Come. So that was an advantage. But at the same time, one of the things I didn't like, that you didn't have people respecting space.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they could see your condition,
mm-hmm.
there was no, you know, no respect in that event. And I think I probably got into several conversations with, like, can you give me some space, please?
Mm-hmm. I think there was a learning curve at the beginning as well. There were people who took it seriously. There were people who didn't take it seriously. And then the protocols, to me, there had to be a learning curve. Because we used to be in jam up.
Mm-hmm.
Prior to COVID, we breathe down each other's neck. I still just want you to come back a little bit, before COVID.
Right.
But that's just how we've been indoctrinated. That's just how we are. And I know that we had to give each other a little bit of grace for that learning curve.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of being irate,
mm-hmm.
you had conversations. Right. And those conversations led to education.
Like, just give me a little bit of space, you know.
I'm uncomfortable. You don't have to believe COVID real.
Right.
But I believe COVID real. Yeah. So give me my 6 feet, please.
So after your doctor visits, they were all private?
Yes.
Okay. Do you think that was like a major plus?
Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever have the concern? Because you know a lot of people that began to worry about loss of income, loss of employment, not being able to maintain insurance. Was any of that ever an issue in your mind?
Well, at the beginning, because my insurance really didn't take effect until maybe my third month,
mm-hmm.
at the end of my first trimester.
Mm-hmm.
So I was paying out of pocket to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
And for people who did not have that, mm-hmm. I don't know how they were able to make it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Having to go to a clinic,
mm-hmm.
a government clinic. You don't know when you're going to get served.
Yeah.
I mean, I really don't even know how it operates, but I just think it takes a very, very long
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, several of the guests alluded to that. It took a long time.
So
some said it was
my appointments. My appointments were when they said my appointment time was.
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't make that, then you simply had to reschedule that.
Okay.
So being going private was definitely a plus, because I could not, I really could not, you know, sit down at a clinic
mm-hmm.
and wait around to be served.
Okay. So you're pregnant. It's the beginning of the pandemic, because your son is born
July
2020. Mm-hmm. So you are
July
in
2014. My daughter's July 9th.
You are in,
and I'm the 11th.
Is this a mommy thing? Is this
I
a mommy
love
thing?
That for you. My mom was the 29th. It is a mommy thing. You'll never get it.
Yeah. So your son is born within the first 4 months of COVID, right? But by the time as he's born, I think the deaths begin.
Mm-hmm.
Like people are definitely starting to be hospitalized. Every day you turn on the TV, there's the frenzy.
Major hospital was major lockdown mm-hmm. at that time.
Yeah, there's major. The frenzy of the news every day, and the in all of this chaos. Though, I mean, you figured, Jesus, I wait 30 years to be pregnant. The world ending now. What is that doing for you psychologically?
Like, honestly, during the time in hospital, my biggest fear was I don't have nobody here. I don't know anybody. Like, my only means of communication with anyone was my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And with it being an emergency, I had an emergency C-section for almost a day. I didn't even know where my phone was.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
So I could not communicate for the first day. And, of course, it was a challenge getting information from... This was my biggest, biggest concern. Being in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
my child is in the very same hospital in NICU ward.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like pulling teeth trying to get information on my own child.
Mm.
Forgive me if I missed it. Okay, I was about to ask.
This is PMH.
Okay. Did you go private ward PMH? Or?
Well, that's another story.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
I ended up on public ward in a semi-private kind of room, but on maternity ward.
Okay.
But that experience, no lie, was not bad at all.
Okay.
It was not a bad experience.
Just
on the public ward.
On the public ward.
Just the PMH.
Like I said, it was semi-private. It was me and one other person in my room.
Uh-huh. It would have been the same. It would have been the same way in a private ward most times. It's two people.
That's why it really didn't upset me too much. It wasn't such a bad experience, you know? I had planned to go private,
mm-hmm.
but with it being an emergency, and you know, when PMH asked me for $4,000 more, and my pressure going up, my doctor, of course, Dr. DePue, said, no, we're not doing this. We're going to go to the emergency room, whatever, the operating room. She's going to go on the public ward for now.
Yeah.
And he came back and he's like, we got things sorted out. Do you want to go back over there? I said, no, I'm fine right here. Mm. So the experience was not at all, not bad at all. My nurses were very, very nice. Mm. So when people share their experiences of the nurses, I cannot identify with that mm-hmm. because that was not my experience. Mm.
Would you say that your nurses were more seasoned veteran nurses or were they Possibly. Younger training nurses?
They were very much seasoned.
Mm. Okay. See, that's yeah. the general consensus that we got. Mm. It was more so the seasoned nurses. And again, this isn't to bash any of our new nurses. We need y'all. We appreciate y'all For coming sure. into this profession, especially in a time like this. We appreciate what y'all going through on the front lines. This is not to knock, but it has to be a learning curve at some mm-hmm. point. You know what I mean? Everyone who spoke about the care that they were given, that bedside manner, everyone's perfect or good or pleasant experience came from those older, seasoned mm-hmm. nurses. Mm-hmm. And there has to be some type of gap.
Which is
there gotta be a gap.
I recall a few younger ones. They were like, but I said they weren't bad.
Yeah, but I've had trauma with my son, and Nurse Pierre was a very young nurse. Who had already worked her entire shift, and I gave her grief to holy hell. I promise you, people that deal with me in real life understand. I'm a walking hurricane yes, sometimes.
Absolutely.
And even under the gun, Nurse Pierre was pretty cool, and she was a very, very young nurse. I have actually found the opposite in my experiences in PMH. Yeah. Mm.
Well, this I wasn't based on my experience.
Yeah,
that.
I don't ever want the old nurse. Like when I see the nurse walking towards me, like her heel hidden. I want that one.
I like the older nurses. I like that. You know, no offense to them. I like that Grammy feel.
No, they grabby.
Grammy. I like that Grammy-like attention.
I got 29 stitches in my foot.
I was a big baby when I was in doctor hospital.
And the nurse grabbed me, dropped the bandage on, say, here, go sit over there. I say, what? Miss my foot falling off. What are you talking about? So, okay, let's get back to you, Debbie. So now you had to be rushed into C-section, mm-hmm. and your baby came early.
Yes, he came. He came at 8 months, actually.
Right.
1 month early.
Right. So you weren't even anticipating going in the hospital when you went in the hospital.
No, my bag wasn't even completely packed.
Right. And now you have the difficulty of the baby decide he coming. You've got to get in the hospital. You can't carry anybody with you. You're not going to have the amenities that you had already planned for. I mean, do you at any point start to panic about this?
Honestly, which is the reason I think even the whole time I was in the hospital, my pressure was so high. Mm-hmm. Because I did panic because I'm like, what is happening with my child? Mm-hmm. I don't know. And then I'm here. I can't get answers. Mm-hmm. And then I don't have my family around. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my pressure was escalating and escalating. So my nurses, again, shout out to them. They were like, Miss Hepburn, what are you thinking about? What are you worrying about? Why this pressure wouldn't come down?
Mm-hmm. Frustration and isolation. Mm-hmm. That's
I think that's what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have anybody here. I only could talk to people on my phone. And I think I must have forgot my charger.
Oh, goodness.
So someone had to send that in one bag for me. You can't go out to walk to the people. Like, oh my God, like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it was just frustrating. It was a challenge.
Now, you talked about your child having to be in the NICU and right. not being able to get information available readily, right? Mm-hmm. Which is also another common thread, because mm-hmm. we heard that before mm-hmm. in the story that, you know, I've had my baby.
Right.
I know. I didn't even see the baby. Nobody bring me no baby. No, nothing. I know the baby ain't in me no more.
But I show it out.
I ain't seen no baby. I asked the nurse them. The nurse them don't know where my baby is. No one know nothing about where my baby, nothing.
Or the condition. Right. Update on the condition.
So having a baby that was born prematurely, mm-hmm. I'm sure that this must be completely mind-blowing for you.
It was concerning.
Yeah.
Like I said, I saw my baby mm-hmm. when he was first born. I didn't hear him cry until about 2 minutes later. So that, mm-hmm. of course, mm-hmm. was...
I know your breath was hold, because right. I hold my breath.
Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, I didn't hear him cry. You know, but Dr. Beach held him up. They took him away or whatever. When I saw him again... was when they had already placed me on the ward. Mm-hmm. And that was one problem that I had when the nurse or whoever she was rolled him down. They have the baby in this glass mm-hmm. thingy.
In the glass.
I just had a C-section. Mm-hmm. I said, ma'am, I can't see him. So I attempted trying to see this baby like 3 times, mm-hmm. but because I just got cut, mm-hmm. I couldn't see him. So I said, okay, well, I guess I'll have to wait. She took him. And I'm like, okay, so... what's happening with mm-hmm. the baby now? Why do you have to take him to the NICU ward? Is he okay? Like I said, I didn't hear him cry. Mm-hmm. So, of course, I was concerned that something must be wrong with this baby. Mm-hmm. Anyway, my aunt, who's a nurse, happened to come in and give me some information. Now, she doesn't work at BMH, but she was able to communicate with some of her other nurse friends to get me some information. So me getting information was from people outside of BMH.
Oh, wow.
And I'm right there in the hospital, but could not get information.
What was the traffic like at that time? Because, again, this was the early days. So, but I know they locked down the hospital pretty early.
They did.
And kind of monitored the movement. But was it like the heavy backlog of people?
I remember seeing quite a bit of people on the maternity ward before entering.
Mm-hmm.
Some females on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But that's as much persons that I saw.
Did you ever worry about your own safety? Like was the thought of, oh my God, I'm going to die from COVID in this hospital ever, was it ever a thing?
No, that wasn't a thing for me. The well-being of my child was
Did you ever think, children have come out of the hospital with COVID as well. Did you ever consider that maybe, you know, I'm going into this hospital, COVID wasn't a thing before today, it's a thing now, and when I have this baby, I don't want my baby to come out here with COVID or contract COVID or... You didn't have the fear of COVID at all?
No.
Do you think it's because it was so early?
No. It was not that. It was because I knew who my faith was in.
Oh, hallelujah. One thing I like with these shades you got.
It was because I know who my faith was in. And that's what I found myself doing half the time that I was in there.
Oh, yeah?
Was praying, mm-hmm. of course, that everything goes well.
Mm-hmm.
And with us having the best NICU, you know, section in the Caribbean.
Yeah.
I'm like, my baby's going
to
be fine.
Shout out to that. Hey, you can't just say that and pass that. You got to shout out and big that out. The best NICU section in the world.
Even despite me not being able to get information, I feel as if they were going to do what was necessary.
Yeah.
You know, and before I left the hospital was the first time that I really, really got to see my baby.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't even really get to hold him like that because he was in the incubator. And so... get to talk to him, hold his hand, and that type of thing. It's like, hey, it's mommy, you know? That's the first time I'm able to communicate with him since he was born. And so they take you. Now, going back to the hospital to see your child, that could not happen.
Let's talk about that on the next break. If you're just joining me, we're going through the series. It's called Pregnant in the Pandemic. I'm here, Roxy Stars here. Candy's my guest. We're talking about what it is that Black Bahamian women, because I know no white Bahamian woman who had babies. So if you're a white Bahamian woman and you want to come on the show, please let me know. I don't have difficulty with that. But what some of these young women have had to go through while we were facing COVID protocols with the hospital, and while many of us were dealing with our own lives and we thought that that was the be-all and the end-all, these people have had to experience new life and the birthing of new life in some of the most unusual conditions I think I've ever seen for definite, and the world has ever seen. So we're going to talk a little bit more about that on the next side of the break. Don't move. It's Levin Miller, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We'll be back after the break.
Fidelity, the holidays are all about family, spending time with loved ones, and being thankful for the little things in life. Worrying about bills should be the last thing on your mind, especially during the holidays. Let Fidelity help you get your bills under control. Fidelity can also get you started with a real savings plan that actually pays you interest. The only thing you need to think about is what you will do with the savings in your pocket this Christmas. Now that's what I'm talking about. Fidelity Bank is here for you this holiday season because you are family, and family is important to us.
COVID-19. Do not panic. Be prepared. If you plan to travel, keep updated on travel advisories from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Be sure to wash your hands often and have travel-sized hand sanitizers and disinfecting wipes readily available. Keep your distance from persons who are coughing and sneezing. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. This can help protect you from COVID-19 infection and other respiratory diseases.
This message brought to you by Bahamas Ministry of Health in conjunction with Guardian Radio.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
We'll be right back.
Thank you for staying with me, Levin Miller. Yeah, it's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. That means I'm unleashed on your radio. That means it's somewhere between 11 and 12 o'clock. Candy says, listen, she was in hospital and she never one time was concerned about whether or not her baby would be okay because she knows in whom she believes. And she knows
he's
well able. Huh? Oh. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust. This, but holy land.
On
Christ.
You
know that? Y'all ain't hear me.
You know that? Oh, gosh.
All out of ground.
Oh, gosh.
Like a good decent church.
Oh, no, please, ma'am. No, ma'am. You banned from the station because we ain't doing that for him today.
So we're talking about her experience at PMA. She doesn't really sound like a bad one.
No,
and she
doesn't.
She did. So far we've had full public, full private doctors.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had, what was it, private PMH, mm-hmm. and now we have
private
doctor, public PMH.
Right.
So I hope you all see what I'm trying to get
great
done here,
mixture.
Because right? I tell you, when I had on my second guest, the people them say the woman had all kind of money, she could do anything.
Right.
My second guest who came in, you know, she talked about how my experience was so great. I was at doctors, I had my insurance. The people say, man, what you bring the woman on the radio for? You could have anything once you got your corn pop.
Right.
And so we see that not everybody.
Shout out to my future child's godmother, your second guest, with all that money.
Had the same experience. So, Candy, you now have to go and visit your baby, who, unlike the mothers that have been here before, your baby is staying in the hospital.
Right.
So you're leaving. Your baby isn't leaving with you.
No.
What is that experience like?
Torture.
Okay.
It was torture. Because, of course, that's not what I ever anticipated during my whole pregnancy, that I would leave the hospital my babies to stay in. I anticipated leaving with my child.
Mm.
That didn't happen. So, firstly, there was no visitation.
Mm-hmm.
What?
No.
You couldn't visit the baby?
No.
Mother could not go back in to visit?
No, once you left that hospital, no.
Oh, I wasn't checking out. They're going to have to get me a couch, baby.
No. That don't make sense to me. What you mean the mummy can't visit the baby? Explain.
No, they give me a number.
What was the reason? What was the number?
I guess they just say COVID. They say COVID with no explanation behind it.
Right. You couldn't go in there.
Even if there was an option to test? Like, okay, you'd have to come in, bring a PCR test?
No.
None of that?
No.
When did you learn?
Because I wasn't getting checked out. This sounds
like some hotel, hospital breaking up kind of thing.
No.
When did you learn that once you left the hospital, you couldn't come back to see your baby?
The day I was leaving.
Man, y'all gotta be
no,
crazy.
Man, uh-uh.
The day I was leaving.
No.
The only thing, I could come to the hospital,
mm-hmm.
like, because I had to start pumping.
Uh-huh.
So when I come to...
And you mean breast milk?
Breast milk.
Mm-hmm.
When I come to bring the breast milk,
mm-hmm.
they told me how I should bring it in the breast container
mm-hmm.
with in a freezer bag
mm-hmm.
with some ice and leave it. Put his name on it, my name, and I would have to leave
but
it.
But how you know that baby get the breast milk?
You don't.
Mm.
You hope to God that they do.
I don't. I didn't know. But those were the instructions that I was given.
And how long was he there?
He stayed in for a week.
One, so you didn't have a white lab coat on and a stethoscope? Because I was coming to work, baby.
No.
I was coming to work.
Of course, you suit up and
present and accounted for
before I left.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. So the only other time I saw my child, that is when they called me to say, Miss Hepburn, your baby is free to keep. He is being discharged.
What was that like? I mean, because, you know, you now leave your baby. And I, from what I understand about mothers that have had premature children, like, you actually get to go visit your baby every day. You can go
pre-COVID.
Sit down on the ward. You know,
pre-COVID.
Pookie, pookie, nanny,
no,
boobie, all that stuff. Right?
Because it's a very...
So what are you at home doing? Other than dripping milk.
Calling the people trying to check on my baby.
Every day.
Yeah,
every
but I mean, it was that communication?
Yeah, it was very open. I had no difficulty reaching anyone.
Okay, that's perfect.
So the numbers that they did give me, someone always answered.
That's interesting. That is not a regular thing.
I never had a problem getting information on how he was doing
mm-hmm.
while he was in the hospital when I left the hospital.
What was the technology like? Like, could you video call? Like, because, I mean, I imagine you want to see your baby.
I didn't even know I couldn't take a picture of my baby while I was there before I left the hospital.
What
to
you
see
mean?
Who baby I can't take a picture
who
of?
Baby?
I had to sneak a picture.
For the 9 months I carried you? My baby? I couldn't take a picture?
The lady told me, saying, no, you can't take
Miss
a picture.
What you mean?
Y'all better go call the security and tell him, bring backup.
Hold on.
That is what the nurse told me.
Mm.
You're not supposed to.
I can see they saying you can't take a video of the full area. You can't take mm-hmm. a broad picture and cover any other children because there are laws to protect taking any type of media on any minor. I get that. That come out me. That's
so you're at home. Man, what are you doing? What are you just at home?
Yeah, you're just at home and just waiting and, you know, waiting to get the call to say your baby's been discharged. That's it. Nothing you could do. They will call you if the baby needs more milk. Mm-hmm. They will call you if the baby needs more Pampers or change of clothes, that type of thing.
What's going on in your head, though? I mean, you know, you again, like I said, you are not a, you know, you're not a suckle bud.
I would much rather my child be home with me. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Of course, that's going on in my head. And they kept me very, I guess, grounded as far as letting me know that, you know, he is doing better this day because he had to be placed on a machine to help him breathe.
Okay.
Also, he was born with a trace of jaundice, so he was placed underneath the light. Mm-hmm. And so they were like, oh, well, we took him off the breathing machine today. He's now breathing on his own. So they gave me good updates. And mm-hmm. so...
Very thorough.
Right.
Okay. So that had you a little
was
bit...
Was this nursing or auxiliary?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Because yeah. I'm trying to figure out if... I mean, this... I imagine the nurse them are so overtaken by COVID because... One of the difficulties I think they alluded to in some of the claims I've heard from the medical people is we doing everything in here. So the same nights that delivering baby
have to go deal with the COVID
right.
patients,
and so
deal with the
and
emergency.
So it is interesting
oh,
to
man,
hear.
I never hear that.
It is interesting to hear. No. Because that's yeah. the thing. Their thing was yeah. our resources.
They were not limited. I don't think they were limited at this point in the state of an emergency in the health care industry. I don't think they were limited to just being a maternity nurse now.
Oh, wow.
I think they really had to pick up the slack
in the hospital, right? Because all
because
of the other trauma nurses.
On bare bones.
Right.
Nurses
staffs.
Out, doctors out.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And so it's interesting that you're sitting here telling me, I mean, you can't call NIB and get them to
oh, no.
the phone. God help you if you call inland revenue.
Definitely on NIB, they owe you money.
They
no one tried to
answer
the phone and they owe you money.
Honestly, I don't know if I was just lucky.
Yeah.
I don't know if I just happened to be lucky that every time I needed to find out how my son was doing,
mm-hmm.
someone answered that phone and was able to give me an update.
Mm-hmm.
I would hope it's not luck. I'm gonna hope it's not luck.
Well, again,
I don't want it to be luck. I want it to be that the system works.
That you can
when
rely
the people
on
who
it.
Supposed
right.
to work in it.
Don't call inland revenue because it don't work over there.
But the people who supposed to be working the system mm-hmm. ain't working the system.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel if the system is in place and the system itself is working and the people who are there to work the system show up and work,
mm-hmm.
the system would work.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's because some people who I knew, well, I don't know, maybe. Because
mm-hmm.
I even got information while I was on the ward from a cousin who's a doctor, who
wow.
my cousin had to contact for mm-hmm. me.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. Oh, they're going out for
right,
you.
Right, right.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
it's probably maybe my little connection.
I just
going
to say, maybe some of it was connections, but I feel like at bare being able to reach a person and get your information,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say that the system worked.
Mm.
I want to believe that.
Well, then again, I think the NICU ward has a direct line.
Yes.
So you don't have to go through the hospital, the main hospital line.
Mm-hmm.
So that was probably, and for the time that I went there was always someone sitting at the desk.
And
so,
this,
perfect.
Was July, this was July 2020.
July 2020.
So all the people who was waking in the NICU ward July 2020.
Shout out to y'all.
Of course.
Y'all did
deserve,
it.
Y'all deserve
y'all
money.
Did it.
Of course.
All right. Okay, so now let's talk about taking your child home, right? Because
mm-hmm.
now it's July and... again, the COVID numbers are ticking up and things are locking down. And if I'm not mistaken, July is, which one of those? July, August, Monday,
mm-hmm.
we were, that was the ridiculously
yes.
long, very, if he never was voted out for anything else, I wanted him to be.
That lockdown felt like.
The 5-day lockdown,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So now
yeah.
you have a brand new baby who need brand new baby things, right?
I mean, was in the middle of surges
yeah.
around that time too.
But you're coming out of the hospital with this baby and place locking down. How is that like for you know because Bahamians, mama need to come see the baby, we need to see the baby foot, Tata won't come see the baby ass,
you know, that
we have to do these things right. Everybody won't come coochie gaudy
no.
baby boo boo. You can't do none of this in COVID.
No. Nope.
What is it like now that you're leaving the hospital, you're finally taking the baby that you only see in a week,
mm-hmm.
That is here 1 month earlier than he ought to have been here, and now you're on the way home in, forget hospital uncertainty, in the new uncertain world where the prime minister locking it down every 2 days if he gave him a chance. What's happening with you? How inconvenient is that for you as a new mother?
And on top of that, you're in a high-risk home already with
right.
a whole house of people that you still have to take care of and
well,
deal with and
first,
shop for and move around for.
The mm-hmm. first reality for me was, oh my God, I'm fine. I'm a mother. Because... it never hit me
yeah.
until I was taking my son
yeah.
home
mm-hmm.
that I have to take care of this little person.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, I was more cautious than ever. hand sanitizer on deck. Again, the only persons were coming to my house were my aunts, mm-hmm. my two aunts, because my mother is not in a position to help right. me like
right.
that.
Right.
All
right. Right.
And so I had the help of my two aunts and my grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so for them, I'm forever grateful.
Mm-hmm.
So bringing the baby home, of course, having my Grammy there, it was a little bit easier because she said, oh, you never had no children before. I didn't have six children. So she was Come able here. To mm-hmm. help me, you yeah. know, do whatever
She's
stuff.
The children encyclopedia.
You know that.
Understand, wake me you up know that baby hiccuped the wrong way. You got to drink tea because you mm-hmm. got to breastfeed this baby. So mm-hmm. you got to make sure you eat. You can't give the baby gas. No visitors, though.
Mm-hmm.
I had absolutely no visitors.
This is completely sidebar. The old woman, them still doing the thing to you where you come out of the thingam and they wrap you.
Ban you.
Wrap
you up so your stomach can go back.
But it ain't wrap up. It's called ban you down.
And put the
you
leaf get them
banned.
Underneath.
See, no one ban me down. That's why I can't get rid of this belly now.
Yeah.
So, I get banned down.
They wrap you like salami meat. They yes. didn't do that to you?
No, my yes. Grammy ain't wrap me like a movie.
And your Grammy in serious.
Yeah.
No, she didn't.
But my cousin them was
you go in the Haitian community, they bind you down and sit you over a bucket of herbs.
Yeah.
Oh, baby.
No, they used to put the herbs. They used to put the herbs on your belly. They put
and
it
you
underneath
sit over
the
a steaming bucket of herbs.
Yeah, and then
herbs.
They wrap you like deli.
Anyone
meat?
From the Haitian community can verify that.
Now, I had a cut.
Don't worry about that.
They still wrap you up.
What you
mean?
Tight.
What?
Tight.
What you mean?
You and your
one thing nobody told me about having C-section, like how to cough.
Oh, you can't cough, you can't sneeze, you can't laugh. I had C-section too, emergency at that. Yeah.
Nobody told me how
none
to
None of those
that.
Things yeah. stay out the window, beloved.
When
like,
the
out
old
the
people,
window, I should tell them, no, come around me cracking no jokes.
When the old people wrap you up, you can't breathe. This belly have to go back in. This belly is going back in
but
Jesus'
see,
name.
I don't like confinement, so that wouldn't have worked for me.
Yeah, no, that's what the old people
that wouldn't have worked for
yeah.
me.
So before you had the baby, right, this is sidebar. Before you had the baby, my grandma used to do this thing where they put you in a scalding hot tub of water with thyme leaf.
Before let's try to activate the contraction. Nowadays, yeah. you just drink the thyme
when you come inside the house.
Now you just drink the thyme
when you come inside the house, right, you say, someone boiling sauce? No,
Lady
that
Berlin
ain't no sauce. Your cousin in there trying to have baby. And so after she's sitting
there, speed up the labor.
I say, the baby don't know what to do no more. This water's so hot. All the room smoky from steam. This is the hottest
so
water.
So what do you do with it? Sit in it?
You sit in the hot water.
No, man, you
tank.
Can't do that.
Yeah. So that helped the baby. The baby just won't come out after that.
Oh, no, we just drink the thyme tea now.
Yeah, then you go to the hospital. When you come back, they grab you and they get with 14-foot band and just wrap it. Tell you can't breathe. They say, you can breathe? Yes, ma'am. Hold on.
You three more rounds.
You can't breathe? No, ma'am.
That's
perfect. That's perfect. Leave it right there.
Oh,
yeah,
no,
that's how it works.
No. We went to Lorraine's and you buy some.
You buy a nice little sucking
panties. The maternity panties. That's what you get.
Lord.
All right. So
man, y'all should never disrespect a woman who has brought life into this world for you. You hear me? Because the things we go through.
Y'all ain't doing it like mama them.
Oh, God.
So now you got your baby home. At what point are you comfortable leaving him to come out into the COVID environment, coming back into the COVID environment? Do you give your own self like the heebie-jeebies at some point? I have children, and I can tell you for the first 10 months of the pandemic, I it killed me, but I tried not to see my boys. Why? I'm like a cockroach.
Yeah,
I'm everywhere. So
you sound like my son's father.
Yeah, so I meet people and shake people on and... And I, in public life, people expect me to shake their hand.
Right.
So I try to keep myself at arm's length from the children because God knows if my children got COVID and got it. That's why I don't go around my granddaddy because he's 96.
Mm-hmm.
And he can see me, he can want to talk. And I just be everywhere. So what was that like for you as a new mother? Now coming back out to the world, doing the shopping, because, you know, after them lockdown, you got to come inside.
I still had to do the shopping.
Right, so you're doing the shopping, and you're moving around, and you're hearing about outbreaks in the food stores, and you're hearing about outbreaks in this place and that place. Is that, I mean, does that take a toll on you?
Yeah, it was a very concerning thing. Like, at some point, my aunt would just do the shopping for us, and, you know, just bring the stuff to the house, just so no one will have to go out.
Yeah.
But of course, I still had to go back to the doctor, take baby to the doctor, that type of thing. So at some point, we still had to go out.
In that environment.
You know? Of course, the baby always needs something.
Right.
So I would have to go multi,
and apparently that don't
Kelly's.
Stop. Like 18 years of them, they always need something.
Yeah. He always
I
needed
thought that
something.
Stopped. It no. doesn't stop, apparently. No. I learned that the hard way.
The biggest thing was pharmacies not being open.
What was that like? I mean, trying
Even before I had the baby, I had a little scare. Needed some meds, could not get it, and and in the evening couldn't get it because if it's a weekend, you can't get it. Mm-hmm. So you have to wait till Monday. That was the most frustrating part mm-hmm. of the whole pandemic for me, not being able to get certain things when you really need it, mm-hmm. and it just so happened to be when it's the curfew.
Right.
So that was very, very frustrating,
mm-hmm.
you know? Mm-hmm. And so going back out into the city with having a baby at home and having my grandparents and mommy at home, that was very challenging. Mm-hmm. But of course, I had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I had to do it because if my aunt wasn't able to do it, then I had to do it.
Mm. What exactly would you say if there was, I mean, other than the baby, of course, like when you found that you're pregnant, COVID then happens because you didn't get pregnant in COVID. But now that you're pregnant through COVID, I mean, are there any bright spots? Like, do you say, well, you know, COVID was around, but this thing wasn't terrible. Or COVID was around, but that thing wasn't terrible. I survived this. It wasn't bad. Is there any bright spot?
The thing is, during COVID,
mm-hmm.
I was never exposed to COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Having the baby, never was exposed to COVID mm-hmm. until 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, COVID's supposed to be ending and I just getting COVID.
Yeah.
I mean, I was going into the food stores and all over the place being pregnant and never got COVID. I waited mm-hmm. now to get COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think COVID affected me so much as far as health-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, for like anybody else, it affected me economically, mm-hmm. financially, as far mm-hmm. as work being placed on days and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So COVID, big up to COVID too, because it helped you save some money, to tell
oh,
you the
wow,
truth.
Oh, wow, Rasta.
Oh, I know about that.
Mm-hmm. No, man, because you couldn't go, like, leaving, you know, we just go out every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
I was in them set who was spending all kind of money because there was no place to go.
Facts.
The most money I spent was on
there
groceries.
There was no place to go if you didn't know the right people.
Well,
but so I never not had a place to go through.
Where could I go being pregnant? Where could I go being pregnant?
And see, that is
it. I think it is not COVID. It is little man that saved you some money.
Yeah, pregnancy and COVID. So pregnancy and COVID was a money-saving scheme.
Yeah. At some point, it saved me some money.
No, because I can tell you, trying to get food in the pandemic was, you know, all the gal got to do is put a piece of chicken breast in the oven and sprinkle parsley on the top of it when it come out, and it costs
$20. $16 a plate.
And it costs $20. And she
me,
right.
I said, girl.
And she right, because I can't go to nowhere else, because only her could save
the worst
out
part
her house.
Of my shopping experience mm-hmm. was waiting to get cashed up.
Okay.
Because then waiting to get cashed up with me having to stand so long waiting to get cashed up, mm-hmm. my ankles
yeah.
were huge.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Very, very huge. And so after standing up for a long period of time waiting to get cashed up, the only thing left for me to go home and do is try put my feet up.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that was it.
Mm. So, okay. So if you had to grade the medical facility in your experience...
medical facility at
private,
the PMH?
Yeah. Private, public experience.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say about them?
I'll give them a B+.
They get a B
Damn
plus.
Bad.
Yeah,
I'll
high.
Give them a B plus.
I even didn't get that on the maths.
Damn,
I'll give them a B plus.
Yeah, B plus isn't bad.
The only reason they don't get an A mm-hmm. for me is when I needed the information about how my
initially,
child was doing.
Initially,
that's
yeah.
the only reason they don't get an A from me. But other than that, they did everything else satisfactory for me.
Someone wants to know if all of your nurses were Bahamians.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
I don't recall any foreign nurses.
No Filipinos.
No, I didn't.
And I don't know. Filipinos are usually around.
One thing I didn't like. Mm-hmm. One thing I didn't like, those the bunch of interns. I don't like that.
Explain.
For some reason, I don't think they do that on the private ward.
You mean the new doctors?
The interns still came around, like mm-hmm. or the students.
Right, the practicing doctors.
Man, I don't like a bunch of them. It was too many of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like about five of them,
mm-hmm.
at least two or three times a day.
Okay.
But because they're learning how to do rounds.
Man, I like that. And I think that's one thing they should have stopped during the COVID.
Why? What was your displeasure is the question I'm asking.
It's too many of them.
So, I mean, the doctors, does it matter how many? Does it matter how many doctors you see? Like, what was the thing? Like, were they?
And you have to draw blood so often. I like it. I wasn't liking that experience
okay.
too much.
But you know they're doctors, right?
I know. But, and I said that too because I'm trying to figure out if any of those were foreign. And I do remember like maybe one or two of them were probably like foreign.
Okay.
Yeah, but other than that, I had Bahamian nurses.
Yeah, and you created your inside plug for your convenience, or you think maybe the system just worked?
I think it's my plug.
Okay.
I think it's my plug and probably my doctor too.
Uh-huh. And yeah. And your faith in God.
Definitely.
Oh, hallelujah. Can't believe that.
Oh, definitely.
Can't believe that. So, okay. So, how is your son now? Like, he's what, two?
He's 16 months.
16. One.
Only women do that stuff.
Yeah, I say one.
Are you gonna tell me when? Are you gonna tell me when he's 92 months?
He's sure. One.
Oh, he's 184 months. Yeah. What does that
That's
mean?
That's me. That's me right now.
He's one. Yes.
Okay, so he's one, and COVID has he's schooling.
Yes.
COVID doesn't have any kind of major effect on, like, if you didn't know any better, does it? But you wouldn't know because you didn't have children before the pandemic. But does it feel like a strain to be raising a toddler in COVID?
At first, when I went back to work.
Okay.
So it was, where do I leave him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Or
with mama.
Then again, my Grammy is 70 plus.
That's the perfect Grammy.
Getting a little bit slower, you know. Mm-hmm. Mommy is not able to do it like that. Everybody else has their own lives. So it was, do I take him to a facility or do I bring someone in?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so I
either
ensured,
way was a risk, so you had to make sure.
But I preferred him being in my environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I made a choice to bring
that.
Someone
you could
in.
Control that.
But made sure that they were definitely COVID-free.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I brought somebody in to take care of him when I went back to work.
Okay. And that was I mean, do you think that was like a difficult task? Because, you know, before COVID,
it
you
was
just
difficult trying to find someone.
Uh-huh. You mean to come into your living space?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I didn't want any, you know, you know, I didn't just want anyone coming into my home.
Yeah.
You know, and definitely, I don't need someone who is be here, there, and everywhere coming into my home.
Right.
So,
and not just that, I don't really want people in my house.
Period.
Yeah, but then you know,
that's me normally.
Yeah.
But I had to try to find someone to do the job.
Sounds like it's been fun. So what is he like nowadays? Is he jumping and climbing and
everything?
Everywhere, getting into everything.
Yeah.
He likes to sing, "Oh, McDonald had a farm." No, he only says, E-I-E-I-O.
Yeah.
Right, that part.
I tell people I never appreciated my parents until I had sons.
Yes.
And then I realized that when you have sons, you get a wonderful relationship with God and you never stop praying.
Oh, yeah.
You
have to pray.
Anyway, Candy, thank you so much for coming. That's my music. That means the show is over. Roxy Starr, the inimitable, the indelible. I'll see you next week, Tuesday.
Absolutely.
That's my time, y'all. I'm Leva Miller. It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. It's been pregnant in the pandemic. Guardian Radio has news for you, though, so don't move the news. It happens now. The glory comes, it will be ours.